Well, physician assistants, or PAs, as we are more commonly known, are going to, in fact, be playing a key role. We are one of three groups named in the Affordable Care Act in terms of primary care providers. And although folks may not be intimately familiar with us, we have been providing care to patients for almost 50 years in this country, and we are up to that challenge of the 20 million new patients who are coming on board. We are folks who are educated in a very similar way to physicians to practice medicine and surgery. Our education is a very intense graduate-level medical education program where we're trained to diagnose, treat, and prescribe. Our training typically occurs side-by-side with physicians in medical schools, and we focus upon health promotion and disease prevention, practices that have significant potential to decrease demand on the healthcare system over time.
So, Larry, do I go to a doctor's office and their PAs that work for the doctor, or do I go to a PA's office and they can do the same thing as a primary care physician?
That's a great question. We have always focused upon the team model in medicine. PAs were team long before team became cool, because team is a concept nowadays that's finally coming into its own. So I would always, every PA would always practice in conjunction with a physician. The idea that four eyes on a patient may be better than two eyes, although on only the most complicated things do we necessarily both have to see a patient. But you'll always see us in a traditional physician office or a hospital settings like that.
How many physician's assistants are there, I guess, that are certified? And then how many more are you expecting will be needed as a result of the ACA?
Well, we have just about 95,000 certified PAs practicing in the country now. We've had over 100,000, but some, of course, have retired over the past 40-some-odd years. We are graduating about 7,000 PAs every single year. That number is going to increase. We have 181 PA programs in the United States, 63 new programs in the pipeline to come on board. And relatively soon, we'll be graduating about 10,000 new PAs every year.
And how many do you think you'll need in the quick near future as a result of the ACA?
The answer is more than we're going to be able to produce. There are certainly enough patients to go around for everyone. There's no doubt about that. I don't think anybody would argue with that. And the reality is that it's a kind of a all-hands-on-deck type crisis right now. 20 million new patients coming online, and everyone deserves access to high-quality, affordable care.
Larry, what about physician's assistant schooling? And if folks are interested, do you expect to see more and more medical schools? Will they add that as a program?
There are programs all across the United States, as I said, 181 programs right now, with more than 60 coming online. There's a clarion call to not only increase the number of programs, but increase the size of individual programs. And you're seeing that as rapidly as we can ramp up. There are some limitations in terms of assuring that everybody who graduates is a quality individual. We sit for national boards, very, very similar to the way a physician sits for national boards. But there are limitations in terms of the number of faculty as well as the number of clinical sites to rotate through. Those are the rate-limiting factors right now.
So why not go ahead and get your medical degree then?
Well, there are a number of reasons. First of all, you can graduate, and we can graduate PAs much more rapidly because of the length of training. It's 2 to 3 years in duration for the entire training, as opposed to medical school, which is 4 years followed by multiple years of residency. So one is a time constraint. Second is an educational cost. Although we're trained at the graduate level, so we take the same pre-medical courses, typically undergraduate, that a pre-med physician student would have to take. We take that 2 to 3 years of graduate school. But during that time, our educational costs typically are under $100,000, where physicians will typically graduate with many, many multiples of that in terms of debt load. That has a tendency to have some downstream effect that is unintended. it tends to force physicians into going into very high-paying jobs, i.e. anything else but primary care, so they can pay back their loans. If somebody graduates with $350,000, $375,000 of loans before they've even started to work, you can see the impact that they may have. The other thing is that PAs are exceptionally satisfied with their jobs. Nearly 90% of PAs, when asked, would you do it all over again, say they would. In the affirmative, they answer in the affirmative, they would do it all over again. It's only about 50% of physicians who say they would be willing to go back to medical school if given the option a second time, which is really sad.
So, Larry, how integral do you think the role of PAs is going to be as the nation and the president's health care reform law moves forward, as we see so many millions, hundreds of millions of more Americans who either have been underinsured or without insurance get into the folds?
Well, we have been doing it, and we're going to continue to do it and escalate. We're going to play a more critical role. You're going to see people who have to be practicing at the top of their education, experience, and licensure. We're going to be pushing a lot of things down into primary care in an effort to get a handle on some costs, and I think those folks are going to automatically include PAs as well as nurse practitioners and other groups.
I know that we might have some people listening, Larry, who are thinking that when they don't hear the word doctor or don't see that name before a person, if you see that title before a person's name, aren't going to have as much confidence. So I know you've mentioned it a couple times, but make them feel better. Tell us why they can have confidence that a physician's assistant can do just as good a job, since you are one of the primary folks involved with the ACA when it comes to providers.
Sure. Same or similar pre-medical training, undergraduate, intense graduate-level program, which includes at least 2,000 hours of patient contact time. Many of my colleagues, myself included, had previous careers in medicine in some fairly sophisticated capacity, whether they were paramedics, they were nurses, they were corpsmen. They had a tremendous depth of experience even before they decided to go to PA school. We also have data that says that outcomes are identical. When you compare safety and efficacy, and patient satisfaction levels are exceedingly high, because that PA may have an extra few minutes to spend time and educate the patient, answer their questions, and physicians nowadays, unfortunately, are just so rushed they can't always do that.
And if the demand is great, Larry, do you think you have enough programs and enough schools to be able to meet that demand in the next couple of years?
The answer to that question is probably not. I'll give you an idea. I am a program director myself. We have 56 seats in my program, and this year we had 1,600 applications for those 56 seats.
So you are going to have to get more programs then, huh?
We absolutely are.
And how do you do that?
Well, we are building programs as rapidly as we can, but once again, the experienced faculty and those clinical rotation sites tend to be the rate-limiting factor. We first and foremost need to assure that everyone who graduates has identical competencies and is able to do the job when they graduate and pass their boards.